When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The Savior's coming was foretold in Eden. When Adam and Eve first heard the promise, they looked for its speedy fulfillment. They joyfully welcomed their firstborn son, hoping that he might be the deliverer. But the fulfillment of the promise tarried. Those who first received it died without the sight. From the days of Enoch, the promise was repeated through patriarchs and prophets, keeping alive the hope of his appearing, and yet he came not. The prophecy of Daniel revealed the time of his advent, but not all rightly interpreted the message. Century after century passed away. The voices of the prophets ceased. The hand of the oppressor was heavy upon Israel, and many were ready to exclaim, "The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth." But like the stars in the vast circuit of their appointed path, God's purposes know no haste and no delay. So in heaven's council, the hour for the coming of Christ had been determined, when the great clock of the time appointed to that hour, Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
Thank you.
For more than 1,000 years, the Jewish people had awaited the Savior's coming. Upon this event, they had rested their brightest hopes. In song and prophecy, in temple rite and household prayer, they had enshrined his name. And yet at his coming, they knew him not. The beloved of heaven was to them as a root out of dry ground, and he had no form nor comeliness, and they saw in him no beauty that they should desire him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Yet God had chosen Israel. He had called them to preserve among men the knowledge of his law and of the symbols and prophecies that pointed to the Savior. He desired them to be as wells of salvation to the world. What Abraham was in the land of his sojourn, what Joseph was in Egypt and Daniel in the courts of Babylon, the Hebrew people were to be among the nations. They were to reveal God to men. But the Israelites fixed their hopes upon worldly greatness. From the time of their entrance to the land of Canaan, they departed from the commandments of God and followed the ways of the heathen. It was in vain that God sent them warning by his prophets. In vain they suffered the chastisement of heathen oppression. Every reformation was followed by deeper apostasy. While the Jews desired the advent of the Messiah, they had no true concept of his mission. They did not seek redemption from sin, but deliverance from the Romans. They looked for the Messiah to come as a conqueror, to break the oppressor's power and exalt Israel to universal dominion. Thus the way was prepared for them to reject the Savior. At the very crisis when Satan seemed about to triumph, the Son of God came with the embassage of divine grace. Through every age, through every hour, the love of God had been exercised toward the fallen race. Notwithstanding the perversity of men, the signals of mercy had been continually exhibited. And when the fullness of the time had come, the deity was glorified by pouring upon the world a flood of healing grace that was never to be obstructed or withdrawn till the plan of salvation should be fulfilled. Satan was exulting that he had succeeded in debasing the image of God in humanity. Then Jesus came to restore in man the image of his Maker. None but Christ can fashion anew the character that has been ruined by sin. He came to expel the demons that had controlled the will. He came to lift us up from the dust, to reshape the marred character after the pattern of his divine character, and to make it beautiful with his own glory. Deep and dreamless sleep, the sun.
Stöckchen klein, wie friedlich liegst du da. Du schläfst unfrohengelein, die wachen fern und nah. O heilig Kind im Stalle, in unsere Seelen komm, befrei uns von der Sündenpein und mach uns gut und fromm. O wie fliegemska дитя, пришедшее с небес, родись, живи, царствуй нас, тобой наш дух воскрес. Все ангелы ликуют и славят Бога сил. Гряди же к нам, гряди, наш царь, наш Бог Эммануил. О, Лорд Эммануил.
When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Providence had directed the movements of nations and the tide of human impulse and influence until the world was ripe for the coming of the Deliverer. The nations were united under one government, one language was widely spoken, and everywhere was recognized the language of literature. From all lands, the Jews of the dispersion gathered to Jerusalem for the annual feast. As these returned to the places of their sojourn, they could spread throughout the world the tidings of the Messiah's coming. At this time, the systems of heathenism were losing their hold upon the people. Men were weary of pageant and fable. They longed for a religion that could satisfy the heart. While the light of truth seemed to have departed from among men, there were souls who were looking for light and who were filled with perplexity and sorrow. They were thirsting for a knowledge of the living God, for some assurance of a life beyond the grave.
That your baby boy will one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
This child that you delivered would soon deliver you.
Oh, Mary, did you know
that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man?
Mary, did you know
that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand?
Did you know that your baby boy
has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God.
Oh, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know?
The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak,
baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Mary, did you know?
With amazement, the heavenly messengers beheld the indifference of that people whom God had called to communicate to the world the light of sacred truth. The Jewish nation had been preserved as a witness that Christ was to be born of the seed of Abraham and of David's line, yet they knew not that his coming was now at hand. Angels attend Joseph and Mary as they journey from their home in Nazareth to the city of David. The decree of Imperial Rome for the enrollment of the peoples of her vast dominion has extended to the dwellers among the hills of Galilee. As in old times, Cyrus was called to the throne of the world's empire that he might set free the captives of the Lord, so Caesar Augustus is made the agent for the fulfillment of God's purpose in bringing the mother of Jesus to Bethlehem. She is of the lineage of David, and the son of David must be born in David's city. Out of Bethlehem, said the prophet, shall he come forth that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from the days of eternity. But in the city of their royal line, Joseph and Mary are unrecognized and unhonored. Weary and homeless, they traverse the entire length of the narrow street from the gate of the city to the eastern extremity of the town, vainly seeking a resting place for the night. There is no room for them at the crowded inn. In a rude building where the beasts are sheltered, they at last find refuge, and here the Redeemer of the world is born. Would you open your hymnals with me to 132, O Come All Ye Faithful? Bob is not able to be with us this morning, so we will sing together. In the fields where the boy David had led his flock, shepherds were still keeping watch by night. Through the silent hours, they talked together of the promised Savior and prayed for the coming of the King to David's throne. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. At these words, visions of glory fill the minds of the listening shepherds. The deliverer has come to Israel. Power, exaltation, triumph are associated with his coming. But the angel must prepare them to recognize their Savior in poverty and humiliation. This shall be a sign unto you, he says. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Then the joy and glory could no longer be hidden. The whole plain was lighted up with the bright shining of the host of God. Earth was hushed, and heaven stooped to listen to the song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." The wise men from the east were philosophers. They belonged to a large and influential class that included men of noble birth and comprised much of the wealth and learning of their nation. The wise men had seen a mysterious light in the heavens upon that night when the glory of God had flooded the hills of Bethlehem. As the light faded, a luminous star appeared and lingered in the sky. It was not a fixed star nor a planet, and the phenomenon excited the keenest interest. That star was a distant company of angels, but of this the wise men were ignorant. Yet they were impressed that the star was of special import to them. They consulted priests and philosophers and searched the scrolls of the ancient records. The prophecy of Balaam had declared, "There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." Could this strange star have been sent as a harbinger of the Promised One? The Magi had welcomed the light of heaven-sent truth. Now it was shed upon them in brighter rays. Through dreams, they were instructed to go in search of the newborn prince. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshiped him. Beneath the lowly guise of Jesus, they recognized the presence of divinity. They gave their hearts to him as their savior and then poured out their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What a faith was theirs.
Shall the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf. Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf. Then shall the lame and deaf of an heart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing.
Heaven and earth are no wider today apart than when the shepherds listened to the angel's song. Humanity is still as much the object of heaven's solicitude as when common men of common occupations met angels at noonday and talked with the heavenly messengers in the vineyards and the fields. To us in the common walks of life, heaven may be very near. Angels from the courts above will attend the steps of those who come and go at God's command. The story of Bethlehem is an exhaustless theme. In it is hidden the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. We marvel at the Savior's sacrifice in exchanging the throne of heaven for the manger and the companionship of adoring angels for the beast of the stall. Human pride and self-sufficiency stand rebuked in his presence. Yet this was but the beginning of his wonderful condescension. It would have been an almost infinite humiliation for the Son of God to take man's nature, even when Adam stood in his innocence in Eden. But Jesus accepted humanity when the race had been weakened by 4,000 years of sin. Like every child of Adam, he accepted the results of the working of the great law of heredity. What these results were is shown in the history of his earthly ancestors. He came with such a heredity to share our sorrows and temptations and to give us the example of a sinless life.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul is proclaim, so we fall on our knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Christ was born, oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine.
Satan in heaven had hated Christ for his position in the courts of God. He hated him the more when he himself was dethroned. He hated him who pledged himself to redeem a race of sinners. Yet into the world where Satan claimed dominion, God permitted his son to come, a helpless babe, subject to the weakness of humanity. He permitted him to meet life's peril in common with every human soul, to fight the battle as every child of humanity must fight it, at the risk of failure and eternal loss. The heart of the human father yearns over his son. He looks into the face of his little child and trembles at the thought of life's peril. He longs to shield his dear one from Satan's power, to hold him back from temptation and conflict. To meet a bitterer conflict and a more fearful risk, God gave his only begotten Son, that the path of life might be sure for our little ones. Herein is love. Wonder, O heavens, and be astonished, O earth.
Starlight shines, the night is still. Shepherds watching from a hill. I close my eyes to see the night when love was born. Perfect child gently waits. A mother bends to kiss God's face. I close my eyes to see the night when love was born. Angels fill Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, love comes down for you and me. Heaven's gift, the holy spark, to light the way inside our heart. Bethlehem, through your small door, came the hope we've waited for. The world was changed forevermore when love was born. I close my eyes to see the light when Christ was born.
Time passed, and Christ's ministry was coming to a close. His wondrous labors of love for 3.5 years in healing the sick, raising the dead, and offering hope and comfort was about to terminate in his death. His life had been a testimony against all of the accusations of the evil one who began the great controversy in heaven. Christ was standing at the point of transition between two great economies and their two great festivals. He, the spotless Lamb of God, was about to present himself as a sin offering, that he would thus bring an end to the system of types and ceremonies that had for 4,000 years pointed to his death. The national festival of the Jews, the Passover, was to pass away forever, and the service which Christ established in the Lord's Supper was to commemorate the important work that he would accomplish for them in his death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. At this time, Mary would recall the prophetic words of Simeon, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed."
Is this the way?
I die in your place. If I could save you some pain, but I can see same. You are the boy I raised. You are the son I knew. You are the one I loved. Why can't they love you?
An earthquake marked the hour when Christ laid down his life, and another earthquake witnessed the moment when he took it up in triumph. He who had vanquished death and the grave came forth from the tomb with the tread of a conqueror. Amid the reeling of the earth, the flashing of lightning, and the roaring of thunder, when he shall come to the earth again, he will shake not only the earth but also heaven. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. The heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The also earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Awake, O children of the night, and bend your leaden ear, for music floods the distant plain which you were meant to hear. Behold, the sky in splendor glows with radiance unlatched, the heavens filled with music rare whose notes have not been matched. This song of heavenly origin today for you is sung, the costly gift of him whose heart of love for you is wrung. For on this day in Bethlehem a covenant is sealed that he should come by whom your soul and all the world is healed. Then stir your hearts in gratitude and join with angel choir, and let your souls be filled with hope and consummate desire. Then sing, O seraphs, once again, regret not Calvary's loss, no more a babe in Bethlehem or victim on a cross. He comes again, this time to reign in kingly majesty, no more a man of sorrows touched by sin's infirmity. For see, the graves are rent apart, their victims ever free, released to rise and grasp the prize of immortality. Rejoice, ye seraphs, shout for joy, and bid us sing with you triumphant song of victory won as Christmas comes anew.